In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. At some time or another, especially in this part of the country, you've probably been asked the question, have you been born again? And a lot of Orthodox people who don't read their Bibles would say no, because they think being born again means that you're some kind of an evangelical Protestant, which just confirms in the minds of evangelicals, well, these people are not even Christians. But the thing is this comes from the Bible. It comes from the matter of fact, the same conversation that Christ had with St. Nicodemus that we heard a little bit of in the gospel reading. The gospel reading that we heard is the reading that's for the Sunday before the Feast of the Exaltation. And it has the famous line in it, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But earlier in that passage, we read about how Nicodemus came to Christ. It says at the beginning of that chapter, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And what the fathers say about this is that St. Nicodemus at this time had a faith in Christ, but it was a weak faith, and his understanding of who Christ was very limited. And so he spoke of Christ only as a teacher and as one who worked miracles, but not as the Messiah and certainly not as God. We hear about Nicodemus two other times in the Gospel of John. Later on, we read about how the Pharisees and the Sadducees had sent spies to check out what Christ was up to. And we're told about the report that they gave in chapter 7. It says, the officers answered, never man spake like this man. Then answered them the Pharisees, are ye also deceived? So this is their response to their spies who are coming back very impressed by who Christ is. Are you also deceived? Have any of the rulers of the Pharisees believed on him? But this people who knoweth not the law are cursed. Nicodemus saith unto them, he that came to Jesus by night being one of them, doth our law judge any man before it hear him and know what he doeth? They answered and said unto him, art thou also of Galilee? Search and look, for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet. So here we find that most of the rulers of the Jews had already decided that Christ was some sort of an imposter or a fake before they even heard the report, and no matter what evidence was presented to them or whatever arguments from Scripture, they were just prepared to dismiss them because they had made up their minds already. But Nicodemus was listening to what Christ had to say, and his faith was growing. And then we hear about him one last time in the Gospels, and that's when, after Christ's death, he and St. Joseph of Arimathea boldly went and took the body of Christ and buried it. So this man went from being afraid to go see Jesus at daytime because he was afraid of what other people would think, to being bold enough to risk his own life and certainly his security and his position by being openly identified with Christ. So Christ at this point, when seeing his weak faith, didn't turn him away, he didn't despise him, he didn't condemn him, but to show him how far he was away from understanding who Christ really was, he pointed out why he was yet unable to understand. It says, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. St. John Chrysostom points out that this is a somewhat obscure response to give to St. Nicodemus, but he says that often if you tell people the truth straight out, they don't really get it. They don't, because it's presented so plainly, they don't take it very seriously. But when he gives an answer like this, it caused Nicodemus to question. So Nicodemus says unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? So Nicodemus is having a very earthly response to what Christ is saying. Now, in the English translations, you'll sometimes see this translated as the phrase that's translated here is born again. Sometimes it's rendered as born anew. Sometimes it's rendered as born from above. And that's because in Greek, it can actually mean all of those things. And probably all of those things are part of that meaning. It's a new birth. It's being made new. But it's also a birth that's from above. It's a birth from heaven. It's a spiritual birth. But Nicodemus is only thinking about this in the most earthly sense. And he's saying, can a man enter into his mother's womb a second time and be born again? And Jesus, again, could have dismissed him and said, you know, you're not even taking seriously what I'm saying. You're giving a ridiculous response. But instead, he just continues to work with him. And he says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Again, St. Nicodemus at this point would not have understood exactly what Christ is saying. And we'll talk next week about how this conversation progresses from here. But let's stop right here because this is a very important point. What does it mean to be born of water and of the Spirit? If you come from an evangelical background, you probably have all your life been told, well, that doesn't mean baptism. That means natural birth, because when you're in your mother's womb, when you have amniotic fluid that's surrounding you, and that's the water that is referred to. And so Christ is saying you have to be born naturally, obviously, to be a human being, to have life, but then you have to be born spiritually. And the reason why they make this argument is because they don't want to say that baptism is really necessary, and they don't want to say that baptism really does anything spiritually, that they see baptism as simply a profession of faith. When you come to faith in Christ and you accept him as your Savior, then you are baptized as a profession of faith out of obedience, because Christ said to be baptized, so because he said to do it, you should do it, but not because baptism actually does anything. Now, not all Protestants view it this way, but this is the way certainly most of the Protestants in this part of the country would view it. But what's interesting is when you read the Fathers of the Church, you never hear them even entertain that interpretation as a possibility. They all universally understood that being born of water refers to the water of baptism. But then some people would say, well, what about the thief on the cross? He wasn't baptized, and yet Christ said to him, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. And so obviously he entered into the kingdom of heaven, and he wasn't baptized. Well, what you have to understand is that Christ is not here just simply talking about who's going to go to heaven and who's going to go to hell. Because the kingdom of God is not just an ultimate reality that we look to participate in fully in the age to come. It's a reality that we can begin to participate in now. And so the kingdom of God, we enter into the kingdom of God in baptism because we're entering into the church. And the church is the earthly manifestation of the kingdom of God. This is where we begin our spiritual renewal. This is the path that Christ has laid out for us, whereby we can become his disciples and truly become all that he has called for us to be. And so it's not just a question of who's going to heaven and who's going to hell, although obviously this is the normal path by which people would go to heaven. This is the gospel message. Also, the water is what we can see in baptism, but that's not the only reality. The renewal of the Spirit is what we can't see. And then some people might say, well, why water? St. John Chrysostom responds to this question by saying, well, why earth in the first creation? When God created Adam, he could have just said, let there be man, like he did, let there be light. Like he did with every other creature. He just spoke everything else into existence. But when it came to man, he took the earth and he formed it and he breathed life into it and he made Adam. So Adam was made from the earth. This is a mystery. St. John Chrysostom says is one that we shouldn't press too far, but the fact that we are from the earth has a lot of symbolism. And it ultimately, we read about in Genesis 3, when God tells Adam, after the curse, he says, earth thou art, and unto earth thou shalt return. Matter of fact, the very name Adam means soil. So we are constantly reminded, if we're aware of this meaning of what it means to be a man, that we are of this earth. And what is more humble than the dirt that we walk on? That's our humble origins. But nevertheless, God breathed life into Adam, and he made him after his own image. And so we have a physical, earthly origin, and yet we have this divine image that God has made out of that. Well, water is just one of the most common things that you're going to encounter, particularly around here. We get rain all the time. Water's everywhere. You can't live without water. But God takes water in baptism, and he does something with it. And it's because water has symbolic meaning. Water cleanses. Water is essential for life. There, you go out to the middle of the Sahara Desert, and what do you see? You don't see anything but sand. There's no living creatures out there, because where there is no water, there is no life. And so the water of baptism is where we get new life. Also in baptism, we are buried with Christ, like a seed that's planted in the earth. And like that seed, life springs forth by the power of the Spirit. But baptism is not the end of the process. It's the beginning of the process. St. Augustine points out, he says, it's one thing to be born of the Spirit and another to be fed by the Spirit. Just as it's one thing to be born of the flesh, which happens when a mother gives birth, and another to be fed from the flesh, which happens when the mother nurses the child. We have to be fed by the Spirit. If you have an infant that's just baptized in the church and the parents walk off and say, "Ooh, now I've got an Orthodox child, they're fully Russian or Greek or whatever," but they never come back to church, that has not done the child the least bit of good, because while they have the beginning, they have something that happened in baptism, there's no follow-up. There's no nurturing by the Spirit. We have to feed on the Spirit if we want to grow up to be true disciples of Christ. Another way to look at baptism is sort of like having a health insurance card. At my secular job, I often run into situations where a mom finds out that her children had insurance, but she didn't know that they had insurance for maybe the last couple of years because the father didn't communicate that to him. He was ordered by the court to provide the insurance. We sent a letter to his employer. His employer enrolled those children in insurance, and so there was this access, and yet it was never communicated to the mother, so all this time she's just paying things out of pocket, and there's all these unpaid medical bills that we're talking about, and the father's saying, "Well, look, I provided you with insurance, but you didn't let her know." Well, it's a lot like that when you have a child that's baptized in the church. They have the access to all the riches of the church, all the sacraments, all the grace that's available in the church, but if they never come, if they're never instructed in the faith, it doesn't do them any good whatsoever. To those of you who haven't been baptized, you should seek it earnestly. Talk to me. Pursue it. Study. But to those of you who have been baptized, you need to live it out. You need to bear the fruits from the seed that was planted in you and be fed by the scriptures, the services, reading the lives of the saints and reading their writings. And you have to be doers of the word and not hearers only. And if you've fallen away through sin, your baptism can be renewed through the baptism of the tears of repentance and confession. Christ calls us all to enter into his kingdom and to be his disciples so that we may enter into the kingdom of God now and more fully in the age to come. Amen.